Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, September 11th, 2001, our nation was under attack and the two towers of the World Trade Center fell. Most of us can vividly remember where we were when these events took place. And then the next Sunday, many churches throughout America were filled with people. Filled with people looking for answers. People filled looking for comfort. And I don't know what happened here on that date, but many churches throughout America focused on repentance. Although we don't know why God allowed those events to happen, we asked God to be merciful to us and to forgive us of our sins. And that's kind of what Jesus went through in this account. People brought a tragedy to Jesus, but instead of Jesus answering all their questions about why this happened, he told the people to repent or they too would perish. And so today we're looking at what repentance all is. For as we repent, we confess, we trust, and we act. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their other sacrifices. We don't have a historical account of this event happening. What we do know from history is that Pilate was a ruthless individual. We do have five separate accounts of Pilate mercilessly killing Jewish people. And so apparently these Galileans were bringing their sacrifices to the temple, and for whatever reason, Pilate ordered to have these men killed. And by doing so, the blood of these Galileans became mixed with the blood of their sacrifices. So you could imagine, the people were wondering if these Galileans had done something wrong that they deserved to be killed by Pilate. But Jesus said to them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Jesus explained that these Galileans had not done something wrong that they deserved to die in this way. And so he was telling the people that they shouldn't compare and contrast themselves with these men who died in order to determine if they should repent. And Jesus drives this point even further home by bringing up an incident that they didn't bring up to him. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Jesus brings up a random tragedy, an accident that happened, and explain that these 18 men did not do something that deserved them to die in this way. So what Jesus is instructing us here is that when we see suffering and death happen, we should not compare and contrast ourselves to determine our repentance. But rather, when we see suffering and death happen, we should see this as an example of God's law. We deserve to suffer because of our sins. We deserve to die because of our sins. And therefore, we are to repent, or otherwise we too will perish. But is that what we do? Do we confess our sins to God? Or do we compare and contrast ourselves with others? Do we act like the Pharisee in another one of Jesus' parables? That Pharisee who was so self-righteous and said, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other people." Do we quickly look and judge others and think they are the ones who really need to repent, not I? Or maybe as we confess our sins to God, we also attach an excuse behind it. Something like, "Lord, I confess that I have sinned, but there are plenty of other people who are doing it. Lord, I confess that I sinned, but it really was the devil who made me do it. Lord, I confess that I have sinned, but I was put into a situation where I had no choice but to sin." Acting in this way is not accepting the blame for what we have done, but it's shifting the blame upon others. Or maybe as we do confess our sins, it has become formulaic to us. That, well, this is what we say, this is what we do at the beginning of church, so I'm going to do it anyway. And we feel no remorse for what we have done. God does not tell us to compare and contrast ourselves with others in order to determine our repentance. He tells us to compare and contrast ourselves to Him. He says, "Be holy as the Lord your God am holy. Be perfect as I, your heavenly Father, am perfect." And when we compare and contrast ourselves to God, when we compare and contrast our lives to God's 10 commandments, what do we see? We see that we are not perfect and holy. We see that we have broken all of God's commandments in our thoughts and in our words and in our deeds. We see that we are sinners by nature and that there is nothing good in our sinful nature. We see that we deserve to perish. But if this was the only aspect of repentance, that we confess our sins, we acknowledge that we're sinners and deserve to perish, then there is no hope. There is only doubt and despair. But another aspect of repentance is to trust. Jesus said this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." One thing that we learn from this parable is that God gives us time to repent. The very fact that Jesus says the word, "unless you repent," shows us that God is giving us a chance to repent of our sins, because God does not delight in the death of a sinner. But how exactly does repentance bring about forgiveness, especially when we deserve to perish? Well, we are not forgiven because we deserve it. We are not forgiven that since we repent, we are doing some sort of work that earns God's forgiveness. But we are forgiven because we trust in Jesus Christ, our Savior. By the power of His arm, He earned and won salvation and forgiveness for us all. When you compare and contrast Jesus with God and His life with the Ten Commandments, you will see that Jesus was perfect and holy. You cannot convict Him of any sin. He obeyed God's commandments in His thoughts, words, and actions, and God was well pleased what Jesus had done. And He graciously credits Jesus' perfection and righteousness to our account through faith in Him. And the only reason that God can do that is because Jesus perished for us. Although there was no reason for Jesus to repent, for He had committed no sin, He became sin for us, so that in Him we receive the righteousness of our God. And so as we repent to God, we trust that we are forgiven purely because of Jesus' sake. And God promises that those who trust in Him will never be put to shame. Those who trust in Him will not perish, but they will receive forgiveness and eternal life. And this may seem the end of repentance, that we confess our sins to God and trust in Him that we are forgiven. But there is one more final aspect of repentance, and it's to act. Going back to Jesus' parable, He mentions a fig tree for 3 years had produced no fruit, and therefore He wanted to cut that fig tree down. But it was the servant who pleaded for that tree and said, "I will fertilize it to make it grow, and if it produces fruit, then don't cut it down." When it comes to repentance, not only do we confess our sins and trust that we are forgiven, but we are also to turn away from sin and to turn to God and what He wants. Because understand that if we confess our sins to God and receive His forgiveness with the sole purpose to go back to that sin again, that is not true repentance. That is not repentance that God accepts, because we are cheapening what Christ has done for us on the cross. We are treating God's grace as an excuse to sin. We're not producing fruits of repentance, but we are acting like dead, rotten trees without producing any fruit. And therefore, God should cut us down. For who of us here can claim that we have never treated God's grace and His forgiveness in this way? But even for this sin, God promises that there is forgiveness. That if we come to Him and confess this sin, He will forgive us. But maybe some of you are wondering, what about those times I confess my sins, I receive God's forgiveness, and yet I fall back into sin? I desire to turn away from it, but I foolishly fell back into it. Does that mean that God does not accept my repentance? Does this mean that God will cut me down so that I will perish? Where do I even find the strength to fight against that sin? Understand that there is a difference between rejoicing and wanting to go back to sin versus struggling with sin and not wanting to go back to it. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. The Lord is patient, slow to anger, and abounding in love and faithfulness. He knows that we are sinners, but He can read our hearts. If we go to God with a broken and contrite heart, if we go to God with a humble and penitent heart, the Lord promises that He will not despise this. He will accept our repentance and forgive us of our sins purely because of Jesus' sake. And when it comes to finding strength to turn away from that sin and to turn to God and do what He wants, we turn to God for that strength. Notice in this parable, Jesus doesn't say that this fig tree magically produced fruit on its own, but that it was the servant who would help to make this tree produce fruit. And that's what God does for us. Through His word and sacraments, God makes us grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is God who strengthens the new man within us. It is God who moves us to will and to act according to His good purpose. And although in this life we will never be perfect, for we will daily sin against God, He continues to encourage us to come to Him in repentance, to confess those sins and receive His forgiveness, so that by that forgiveness, He will move us to act in producing fruits of repentance. And that's what repentance is all is. As we repent, we confess our sins to God. We acknowledge that we are sinners who have sinned against Him in thought, word, and deed, and deserve to perish. But in repentance, we also trust. We trust in Jesus Christ, who won salvation for us, and by His death on the cross, God graciously forgives us of all of our sins. And in repentance, we also act. Let us turn to our God and receive strength from Him so that we may turn away from sin and turn to Him and do what pleases Him. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.